Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for being a part of the show. We'll go till 8 o'clock tonight. Got a lot of great topics we're going to get into around the Lakers. Jovan Buha, The Athletic, who really had a couple pieces over the last couple of days or so, certainly made some headlines around the Lakers. So why not bring Jovan on and get his thoughts on what's going on around the Lake Show? Just a quick breakdown of what we're going to talk about tonight. I put up a poll yesterday about what would be a better fit for the Lakers, and I had a couple scenarios out there. If you were going to trade Russ, and I present you with a couple different scenarios, I'm curious to see what Laker fans think. Certainly on Twitter, I got a good idea of what Laker fans would prefer if you're going to trade Russ. There was some conversation that the Lakers kind of standing pat as far as giving up draft compensation to go get Kyrie. I think there's a little game of poker being played by Rob Pelinka in the front office. Could that backfire? How much should we pay attention to Bron and Russ not saying hello publicly at Summer League? I know that's been the conversation for the last couple of days, so I certainly want to give my thoughts on that. And then Darvin Ham talks about Russ from the Summer League. 26 years ago today, Kobe Bryant was introduced as a Los Angeles Lakers. So we got a ton of stuff to get into. Let me start off with the one that continues to dominate the headlines. I guess it's quieting down a bit here. The news of will the Lakers make a trade? Will Russ still be on the roster? What are their options if they do? Let's say the Kyrie thing doesn't go down. There was a plan B, and Jovan Buha spent a little bit of time, and again, I'm going to have him on at 7:30. But there was an article yesterday, and then I'm going to play this off the poll that I put up there yesterday on Twitter. There was an article late last week. It says, while LeBron James wants Kyrie Irving, some of the Lakers prefer Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, and some as in the front office, or at least some people within the organization. I want to actually just talk about this for a quick second, because I bought into something last year that obviously didn't work out. I bought into the, hey, go get stars. Stars are so tough to get in the NBA that once you get them, that really is the kind of the foundational pieces you need to go make a championship run. I guess the argument is, well, how many stars do you really need? So last year, I felt like the Lakers were trying to combat with the Brooklyn Nets because they had three stars, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. And I thought part of the reason why the Lakers thought, hey, let's go see if we can flip some of the guys that we have, some of these role players, and go get another star. And they did. They went out and got Russell Westbrook. And I think over the last year, it's kind of shown, if you saw the direction that the Lakers franchise went in, the direction that the Brooklyn Nets franchise went in, damn, it really did. I think it identified a few things. Number one, if you're going to have stars on a team, they all got to complement each other, especially if you're going to have three, right? Because the more stars that you have, there's only one basketball. So those players are accustomed to having the ball all the time, or they're accustomed to being franchise players. Can you find a way to balance and juggle three stars when you only got five guys that are on the floor at the same time? And I think both of those franchises proved last year that the way they built their team was not the right way. Or at least the way that they built their team at this stage of some of these guys' career, it blew up in their face. It blew up in Brooklyn's face. They're now, after they traded James Harden at the trade deadline, then now they're in a position where KD wants out, and it sounds like it's all but certain that Kyrie's going to eventually move on as well. For the Lakers, I don't even need to tell you how that one blew up. And you might even, you know, you might look at the Lakers and say, oh, well, they had some injuries and some other things that didn't go their way. No, they really weren't a good team. And even if AD and LeBron and Russ all played together for an extended period of time, I don't think that was a championship team. And that's the key there, is a championship squad. When Brooklyn and the Lakers went out and traded last year in the offseason, they were not trying to just get in the playoffs. They were not trying to make it to the Western or the Eastern Conference Finals. Vegas had them 1-2 as favorites to go win the whole thing. The reason why I bring that up, because a lot of the chatter has come out about going to get Kyrie. And it sounds like there's a plan B for the Lakers. And a plan B would be to go try to make a deal with the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers have been tied with the Lakers for quite a while, since the NBA trade deadline, because they had pieces that you thought could be of value to the Lakers, and they had contracts that can actually make a Russ for. At the time, we were talking Malcolm Brogdon and Buddy Hield. Malcolm Brogdon obviously ended up with the Boston Celtics, but now it's shifted towards Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. So I put up this tweet yesterday. I guess I'm not too shocked by it, but what I'm surprised how unbalanced it is. The way I look at things at this point, you know, continuing to watch this iteration of the Lakers, I'm not going to pay attention to the way other teams were built, other championship teams were built. But for the Lakers, in this 4 years that you've had LeBron James, you had LeBron with a bunch of young players. It wasn't good enough. Then you went and traded for Anthony Davis. You had two stars, and you had legitimate role players all around. It was the perfect example of building a championship team, and that's exactly what happened. They went and won a championship in Orlando. After that, the Lakers have recycled their roster, and then this past offseason, they go out and get another star. This offseason, as we're still in the middle of right now, what they end up doing, the question really is, do you go out and get another star like Kyrie Irving, or do you just build your squad around a couple role players? I think the NBA has shown you can win championships with obviously two big-time players and a bunch of role players. And there are a lot of teams, I think, taking more of that approach. Whether it's right, wrong, whatever the case is, we'll have to wait and see. And I think, you know, LeBron is always, he's won different ways, different styles, different teams. I mean, he's been at three different stops, Cleveland, Miami, and the Lakers. He left with all those franchises with an NBA championship. But I guess how you get there is the question. So the poll I put up, which would you rather see for us? A trade that's Kyrie Irving, the star player, plus it's going to be one of those other two players, which is Seth Curry or Joe Harris, because that's the only way you make the contracts work. Kyrie's not making enough to do a straight up trade for Russ. So would you rather see the Lakers for Russ go get Kyrie and one of those two guys, or Miles Turner and Buddy Hield? Miles Turner, what is he? He's a fantastic defensive big man. Buddy Hield, a sniper on the outside. 82%. Of Laker fans, this is over 2,500 votes, 82% says go get that star. You know, it's kind of funny. I thought it would be maybe more around 60%, 60-40, something along those lines. But what's kind of funny to me, and Travis said this earlier, we were talking about it, I threw the question his way, and I didn't throw the question his way to see what he'd rather see. I just threw the question to him based more upon who he thought Laker fans would, and he said he thought it would be more heavy towards a star. And I know we're star-driven, and I know the Laker franchise, that's what it's all about. Go get the big-time players. But I thought this one you could make a legitimate argument for. Hey, you got a big man that's a defensive guy. He'll stay more inside the paint. AD can play more on the perimeter. And Buddy Hield, the Lakers have been supposedly trying to get Buddy Hield now for a couple of years. Nope. 82% wanted the headache that comes with Kyrie Irving. It's funny. I don't disagree, because I'm on the Kyrie notion of this as well. But I'm on the Kyrie notion also predominantly because you're going to get another shooter with Kyrie. You're going to get legitimate shooter in a Seth Curry or a Joe Harris that would come along with the deal. So you'd really be getting two fantastic shooters plus a playmaker. And the Lakers went out and they got a couple of big men in the offseason. They got Damian Jones, and they went out and got Thomas Bryant, two young guys that I think are going to be basically playing off a trampoline. And Thomas Bryant has certainly been injured for a big part of the last couple of years, so we'll see if he can get back on track. But I feel like the Lakers kind of took care of the big men piece of things. But I will say, if the Kyrie thing doesn't go down and the Lakers went out and got Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, I would still think that's an incredible upgrade from where they are. I think the one thing with Kyrie It gives you that puncher's shot. It gives you that chance of potentially uppercutting somebody, and you know you might be losing in a round, but bam, or you might be losing just in the boxing match, but one round goes your way, and it could change the whole scope of things. There'd be a lot of things that have to go right with Kyrie. I would personally still roll the dice with Kyrie if that option is there. However, like I said, a little bit more lopsided than I thought it would be. I don't know when anything, by the way, is going to go down. I read something a little bit earlier during the weekend that Mark Stein had wrote in his Substack newsletter that he does. I'm going to read this off here real quick. It said league sources maintain that the Nets are A, focused on trying to assemble a palatable Kevin Durant trade before proceeding to Irving scenarios, and B, adamant in their resistance to taking back Westbrook in a theoretical Irving swap without, for starters, some first round draft compensation added by the Lakers. I've been hearing this for pretty much the last week and a half. You can almost call it 2 weeks now, that the Lakers they're going to be patient on this, that there are not a number of other teams that are involved, and that the chances of going to get Kyrie are in their favor because Kyrie wants to be with the Lakers, that LeBron wants Kyrie to come to the Lakers, and that the Nets really don't have too many other teams to deal with. The best way to describe it, you know, if you're somebody that plays poker, it seems like Pelinka is trying to take advantage. He feels like his cards are stronger than the Brooklyn Nets, so he's going to take his time. Now, maybe it has nothing to do with that. Maybe it has all to do with the KD thing's got to get figured out first. The only thing I say, and I think I had mentioned this last week as well, I worry a little bit when you're playing the whole, well, we'll just wait it out then. Because maybe today there aren't any suitors for Kyrie, but I don't know if that could change tomorrow. I don't know how that can change things down the road. Maybe KD gets traded, and once he gets traded, other teams panic a little bit and think they need to get in the Kyrie sweepstakes. So until we get some more information, I mean, if you're telling me that the Lakers, they come back next season with Russ, or they trade Russ and they get Kyrie a shooter and they have to give up, you know, one of those picks that they have, 2027 or 2029, it sounds like you take your chances in that type of predicament all day long. We'll see how things shake out. But the people have spoken. They do not want Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. They would much rather have Kyrie and one of those shooters in Brooklyn. We'll see how things eventually play out. All right, this has kind of dominated the headlines at least today. How much attention should we pay to this LeBron and Russ not interacting at Summer League? I want to give my thoughts on that because I'm not one, as you guys know me, I'm not one to try to create drama out of nothing. I prefer just being a straight shooter. The reality is, I look at this situation, this predicament, I don't know how you not make this a big deal. I'll tell you what I'm talking about coming up next. If you want to be a part of Lakers Talk, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
I appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Hopefully everybody enjoying their Monday evening on this fantastic, what are we, middle of July already here in the summer. We're talking Lakers basketball. We'll go to 8 o'clock, and Jovan Buha, the Athletic, is going to come join the show. Let me grab one quick call. We had the topic a little bit earlier about Kyrie to the Lakers or the Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. There was a conversation. There was an article in the Athletic talking about how LeBron would prefer the Kyrie trade, but some other people in the front office would prefer Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. Let's go to Ishmael. Ishmael, what's going on? Appreciate you calling in.
Hey, how you doing today?
Okay, buddy.
Love you. Love what you do, bro. My long story short, in my position, I'm a Sacramento Kings fan, live in Sac, and I've seen Buddy Hield play. I've seen how he works, and then also Miles Turner. I agree. You guys need a shooter. You guys, Miles Turner will help, you know, the defense, all that kind of stuff. But in my situation, I'm looking at the Nets thing. Kyrie's a shooter. Kyrie's a ball handler. And then you also, if you get Joe Harris or Seth Curry, you also get a shooter.
Yep.
So my question is, why does everybody want to, is on Buddy Hield so much?
So I think this, by the way, I appreciate you calling in. And it's good to get actually a Kings perspective because you're somebody that's watched Buddy Hield with them for years. I think it comes down more to this. I think Buddy Hield has been a conversation for a number of years because, remember, Russ being traded to the Lakers last year, it almost was Kuzma going to Sacramento and Buddy Hield coming to Lakers. It was a different deal that almost got done, and that's been the attachment with Buddy Hield. On top of that, the Lakers have been so bad from the three-point line, and they really haven't had some type of a sharpshooter. I think that there's been that attachment as well, that you thought Buddy Hield was potentially going to be a Laker. You're not wrong on the you can get two straight-up shooters. I did a show, I think it was right before 4th of July, or maybe it was the day after the 4th of July weekend, whatever it was, with Brian Kamenitsky. And Brian kept saying, he's like, you're not getting one shooter, you're getting two. Kyrie Irving is a legit shooter in the league. He's somebody that shoots from a high percentage. He's not just a three-point shooter. We obviously know he's got a mid-range, can get to the basket, finish with his left, finish with his right. I do think that's what you know, most people gamble on that side of it. I think really ultimately what it comes down to more than anything else is the fact that he's Kyrie Irving, and that Kyrie has shown over the last few years, why are teams excited to get rid of Kyrie? Why? How does that happen? How can you be that talented and teams are fine to say, okay, Kyrie's gone, sounds good. Kyrie left Cleveland, and Cleveland has had great success here, specifically last year. Kyrie left Boston, Celtics got to the NBA Finals. I'm not trying to tell you that where he leaves, those teams are more successful because he's gone, but it's also not a coincidence that you lose a all-star caliber player and your team doesn't miss you. It doesn't happen often. You're supposed to be missing the guy that left. You're supposed to rebuild if that player is that impactful of a guy, and Kyrie hasn't been the case. Listen, here's the best way to put it. I think Kyrie gives you an opportunity to hit a home run. A lot of these other guys give you opportunities to hit base hits. And I think, you know, the question comes down to what do you think the Lakers need more, and we'll see what eventually happens on that front. I do want to get into, I mentioned this this chatter these last couple of days about LeBron James and Russell Westbrook, who were both at Summer League, at least publicly, there's nothing. You never saw those two guys. And Jovan Buha, who's going to come on here in a few minutes, this is, I'm gonna just read a specific quote from Jovan in the piece that he wrote. But with all the eyes in the arena and TV and social media on James and Westbrook, it was interesting, if not telling, that they never publicly interacted, especially when considering their bromance at Summer League less than 12 months ago. I mentioned this earlier today, and I'm gonna mention this again. I'm not one to try to, you know, stir up, oh my gosh, what does this mean? I'd prefer not to do, when I get a chance to get on a mic and talk Lakers basketball, I prefer that is not my style. However, I cannot sit here and tell you that I don't think it's not a big deal. Like, why wouldn't they just say hello? Why wouldn't Russ go to Bron and say, what's up, Bron? How we doing? Everything good? Cover his mouth a little bit. Do like the other athletes do. It's the cool thing to do. And have a little quick little side conversation. And then they go back their way and there's no conversation. However, they don't publicly say anything to each other. You guys see Bron when he walks into this summer league. This isn't the first year. This is every time. It's LeBron freaking James. Everybody goes up and says what's up to Bron. Everybody. I think I saw photos. He was there with Kurt Rambis, there with obviously Palenka, obviously there with Darvin Ham. For all I know, maybe they were saying what's up to each other in the back. I don't know. I don't have that. I don't have that. You know, knowledge if that was the case. One left, I think, at halftime. Russ left at halftime. Bron left at the end of the third quarter. I'm not sure, you know, what happens eventually with Russ. But what I can tell you, Russ has been a big time conversation around the Lakers over the last year. A lot of it negatively, and I'm not also pinning everything on Russ. We know how basketball works. It takes a number of guys for things to work. It takes a number of guys for things not to work. Russ didn't work on the Lakers, period. And they had other issues and they had other problems, and nobody's trying to deny that or question that. However, the way I look at this, that those two are not connecting, when you got Darvin Ham going out of his way too. I mean, I don't know if you guys read some of those quotes or listened to Darvin Ham talking about Russ from Summer League, obviously when he had his press conference, but he's going out of his way to talk as if Russ is on this team. You know, one of the quotes that he finished, "So I'm excited as hell to have Russell Westbrook on our team." And that was before him complimenting other things about Russ, challenging him of what he's got to do, really challenging, you know, the three stars, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Russ. But there's so much attention on those two players. There's so much attention on a day-to-day basis on LeBron James. And the Russ piece of not working in L.A., that's a conversation that we have almost every single day in sports talk radio here in Los Angeles. And that's not counting what First Take is doing and Undisputed and all these other, you know, TV shows that are out there. And the fact that they don't, we don't see anything of those two who are in the building saying what's up to each other, I don't think that's nothing. You know, Travis, I thought, was making a good point earlier today. He was talking about how LeBron is so calculated in everything, really throughout his career. He's very calculated. LeBron doesn't just do things just to do them. LeBron knows what he's doing. He knows what he's saying. He's doing stuff in the background. He's an incredibly, incredibly intelligent man on and off the basketball floor. Not just, oh, where he's just a basketball player and that's it. No, the guy is calculated. He understands that he can do things that either stir the pot, he can do things because he's trying to get something done, whatever the case is. I think it was interesting that those two had zero, publicly, had zero type of really connection, I guess is the best way to put it. Now, we might walk into training camp and Russ is still on the Los Angeles Lakers, even though I every single day, I go kind of back and forth on this. I thought when the season ended last year, Russ ain't coming back. And then you heard his exit interview. I'm like, Russ is definitely not coming back. Then Darvin Ham gets announced as the coach, and Russ is there at the presser. Specific questions addressed to Darvin Ham about Russ. Travis and I were doing our show in the morning. We were broadcasting live from the Lakers facility, and we got a few minutes with Darvin Ham. And we asked, you know, specific question about Russ. And every single response, you know, Darvin Ham gave the indication like he's supposed to do. He's, you know, obviously not going to play it any differently. But he's really, some of his quotes really talk about you thinking Russ is going to be on the Lakers. And then as free agency starts, and now we spend the last couple of weeks listening to Brian Windhorst, Sham Sharania, Woj, Chris Haynes. Think of all the big-time reporters, Mark Stein, that cover the NBA. And all of them, there is chatter and news about potentially a Russ being traded. So I don't really know. I guess today I would lean more towards that he's still not going to be on this team. But I go back and forth on all this. And I thought, I think it was Friday night Summer League game of the Lakers, that he was that those two did not interact. Doesn't really bode, I think, very well that there is a confident future between those two guys and Russ continuing to be here. Could I be wrong? Absolutely. Could they have spent 15 minutes in the tunnel way having a conversation? For all I know, they met up for dinner right after Summer League, right after that game. But all we can do is just kind of talk about what we saw, and the fact that they didn't interact I thought was interesting. Jovan Buhas coming up next. He covers the Lakers for The Athletic. Thanks for being a part of the show. Stay right here. Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, thank you for being a part of Lakers Talk. I want to welcome in Jovan Buha of The Athletic, a frequent guest here on the show. Jovan, hope things are going well, my man. I know you've been down at Summer League. Let me start with this. I put out a poll. And a lot of this was actually coming from the article that you wrote a couple of days ago or so. You had put out there that there was some interest, that LeBron would be more interested in the Kyrie side of things, but some other personnel might have some more interest in Miles Turner plus Buddy Hield. Before I ask you a little bit more details on that, what percentage do you think of Laker fans? I just put out, who would you rather see for Russ, the Kyrie plus one of those two shooters, or Miles Turner and Buddy Hield? What percentage do you think, how do you think that was split up?
I would say, I don't know, 75, 80% of Laker fans would prefer Kyrie.
So 82%. So literally 82.
Okay.
as close as you can get. Does that surprise you at all, or is that, I guess you could say, what you think most Laker fans would think is a better fit? And then also just, you know, your thoughts when you wrote that article, where do we kind of stand of where the Lakers are as far as not just preference, but just in general, plan A and plan B?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it comes as a surprise just because I think this is a star-driven franchise. It's a star-driven fan base. You know, the Lakers have always chased the stars, and more often than not, they've gotten them. So them preferring Kyrie Irving, and I really think, you know, and I know you mentioned it, you know, kind of in the lead into this, but that second player in the Nets trade is really interesting to me because that person, especially if it's a Royce O'Neal, if it's a Joe Harris, that player, I think, immediately is a starter and immediately becomes the Lakers' best non-LeBron wing on the roster. And, you know, that, you know, not obviously not as valuable of an addition as Kyrie would be. But I think really, you know, whether it's Royce, who's a bit of a 3-and-D wing, or Joe Harris, who's one of the best shooters in the league, like those two additions, you know, either one on the wing would really bolster, I think, the Lakers' perimeter group. So I totally see why fans would prefer that. I think if you're ranking the possibilities, I still would put Kyrie at the top for myself as well. But from what I have heard and just in conversations throughout, you know, Summer League, like it feels like the sides are at a stalemate right now. You know, that there isn't much urgency to get a deal done, just because I think for the Lakers, there's a little bit more urgency because you have LeBron's extension date looming in early August. But for the Nets, like, their priority is figuring out Kevin Durant and, you know, where's he going? What type of package can we get back from him, for him? And then once they move KD, it's about, okay, now let's turn our attention to Kyrie. But really, I mean, their big haul is going to come from what they get for Kevin Durant. And I think that is really, you know, going to determine the direction of that franchise. So that's kind of their focus. With the Lakers, you know, their package isn't going to change. So whether it's Russ and THT or Russ and Kendrick Nunn plus a first and maybe a couple seconds, like, that package is going to be there tomorrow versus 4 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, 12 weeks from now. Like, I don't think the Lakers' offer is really going to change. So I think for Brooklyn, their priority really is figuring out Kevin Durant. And that's where I think you can maybe see kind of a holdup in this. But, you know, my example of the Indiana deal is, you know, I know the Lakers and Pacers have talked, and I know there are some people in the organization who would prefer to avoid Kyrie and just stay away from the potential. You know, this is a guy who, though he is a better player than Russell Westbrook, you know, availability has been an issue for him over the last few years. And there's also been a certain level of drama off the court that has come with having Kyrie Irving on your team that maybe Russ doesn't provide. So I know some people internally would prefer a different trade, you know, between multiple options. But, you know, the most important thing is LeBron wants Kyrie. He's pushing for that behind the scenes. And ultimately, if that trade ends up happening, that's why I think it's going to, you know, occur, because that's what LeBron wants. And we saw it last offseason. He got Russ. And, you know, if they get Kyrie, I think he's going to be the driving force behind that.
Kyrie and drama. Impossible. Impossible. There was Mark Stein wrote on his Substack newsletter, which he does a fantastic job as well. One of his quotes in there was, for starters, some first-round draft compensation needs to be added by the Lakers. This is talking about if in just the potential of getting Russ. Do you see any deal that does go down if the Lakers are to go get Kyrie Irving or really any of these deals, even a plan B? Is that something that you feel like a lot of these other teams are – they are saying, at least in their mind, that draft compensation has to be included? And how hesitant are the Lakers to give up one of those draft picks?
Yeah, so from what – and I reported this you know, a few weeks ago. From what I had been told, basically any conversation with you know, between the Lakers and another team starts with, we want at least one first-round pick to take on Russell Westbrook's contract. So – that is kind of the starting point of any negotiation, whether the Lakers trade Russ for Kyrie or trade him for Buddy Hield, Miles Turner, or maybe Charlotte for Gordon Hayward. You know, any of those packages, expect to see a first-round pick, be it 2027 or 2029, being attached to Russell Westbrook to incentivize one of those teams to take him on. Or potentially, you know, I think a more realistic option might end up even being two first round picks, where, you know, if Brooklyn, for example, doesn't want to take on Russ, maybe a third team steps in, be it San Antonio or Oklahoma City.
Sure.
And they help facilitate a three team deal, but they're not just going to take on Russ for nothing. Right. And Brooklyn has no incentive necessarily to help facilitate that as well. So I think in that case, maybe you see Oklahoma City gets a first round pick and then Brooklyn also gets a first round pick. So I think in any Russ trade, it's going to require draft compensation. From what I've been told, the Lakers do not want to give up that second first-round pick. I think if they were willing to do two first-round picks, Kyrie would be a Laker right now. You know, that I think that, you know, that's as good of an offer as Brooklyn's realistically going to get for Kyrie, is two first-round picks, a big expiring in Russ. Like, you know, I think that deal would have gone down had the Lakers been willing to do that up to this point. But I think that the haggling really is on that second piece, where I think the Lakers are prepared to send Russ plus another player plus a first round pick to Brooklyn. But, you know, Brooklyn wants a second pick, and Lakers would like to send maybe a second round pick, two second round picks, something like that. So I think that's where the haggle point is in these negotiations. And then also kind of what player the Lakers are going to be getting back from Brooklyn. But I know, you know, the Lakers, I think that they've had some egg on their face in the past with some of the deal, you know, giving up as many picks as they did in the AD trade and just sort of their casualness with first round picks in the past.
Sure.
I think they view it as something they got to retain. So I see why they don't want to give up. I also think they look at it like, we're the only ones really bidding for Kyrie right now. Like, why are we bidding against ourselves? But at the end of the day, I think it might just come down to, are they willing to put in a second pick? And if not, they're just not going to get Kyrie. But, you know, this is kind of changing, you know, by the minute, by the hour. So I think there's a lot of moving parts here. But from what I've been told, it sounds like that second pick is really the haggle point.
Jovan, I'm curious here. And Jovan Buha from The Athletic taking some time to join us here on Lakers Talk. I'm curious. I want to – there's another question I want to ask you, but I don't want to get off this one for a quick second. So I was mentioning a little bit earlier in the show that – the Lakers, they don't want to negotiate against themselves, that yeah. There isn't a line of teams. There isn't three, four other teams lining up to come say, hey, we want Kyrie. Is there a little poker in this where, not even poker, is it risky? Because if hypothetically the offseason continues, another team's goals can change. And I'm talking about a team outside of the Lakers. Maybe another team wants to now all of a sudden jump into the Kyrie sweepstakes. Maybe a KD trade goes down, and now that the dust settles, other teams say, hey, you know what, let's go make a play at Kyrie. Is there how much risk do you think there is in holding back? And us, I feel like I keep hearing this, the Lakers are negotiating against nobody. Is that a risky proposition to play?
Yeah, because, you know, teams, other teams, you know, Dallas has been reportedly in the mix, Miami, those teams can come in and make counter offers and potentially throw in more picks and offer expiring contracts to kind of match the salary. And in that case, you know, it doesn't really become about the caliber of player you're offering. It's really just, you know, who's offering me the most draft assets. And that's kind of what Brooklyn is looking for. I mean, I think the KD trade is really going to be important just because it's going to dictate, like, is Brooklyn going for a full rebuild and just, hey, let's get a young star and a bunch of picks and let's build around him? Or are they trying to remain competitive in the East and maybe go for a little bit more of a, you know, kind of player heavy deal where they get multiple rotation guys back, maybe one star and maybe not as much picks? So I really think the KD trade is going to kind of dictate what type of move they're looking for with Kyrie. But yeah, I mean, you know, Miami obviously is one of the teams on KD's list. And if KD goes to Phoenix or he goes elsewhere and not Miami, they could easily pivot and, you know, offer a better deal than the Lakers can. You know, that is one of, like, the Lakers are currently negotiating against themselves, but once KD is off the board, that could change at any time. And all of a sudden, their lack of movable draft picks becomes an issue. So, again, like, I think there's kind of a gridlock right now where there's so many things that are tied up in this KD situation. I mean, DeAndre Ayton, the Phoenix Suns, the Pacers, like, there's all these kind of ripple effects that are going to happen once KD gets moved. And, of course, I think Kyrie and the Lakers are right there as a ripple effect.
Jovan, final one for you. And as always, man, we always appreciate your time. You had put out an article about, you were tweeting about it on Friday night. LeBron and Russ don't interact at the game. By the way, is that, you know, I was thinking about this myself. I'm like, for all I know, I don't know, maybe they went to dinner after the game. For all I know, they interacted in the tunnel. I literally have no idea. And if you have, you know, more light you can shed on that, feel free to. But is it telling? I mean, what do you walk away with that those two don't interact, especially in the summer league? I feel like everyone comes up to each other. I feel like, you know, for those listeners that are there or listeners that have gone out to the summer league, it's a really relaxed environment. It's not like your regular season game or a playoff game. GMs are there and coaches and guys are saying hello and media members are doing whatever they're doing. What do you make of the two not interacting? How do you kind of perceive that?
I think the natural reaction is to maybe kind of dismiss it and say, you know, oh, well, this is just maybe the media kind of creating a story, or, you know, what's the big deal? And we don't know what they did behind the scenes, but
we would never,
you know,
do that.
I can,
we would never.
Yeah. I can guarantee if they were hanging out in the hall, like, you know, the access at Summer League is much better,
sure.
You know,
yep.
Especially for the team. So they're documenting everything. So if those guys are meeting in, like, I don't think the Lakers love that, you know, this kind of became a story either. So I think had those two privately interacted, maybe in you know, the bowels of the arena, like that would have been a photo or a video that the
That's
Lakers
right.
would
That's
have put
point.
Out on social. But to me, it was just telling because I had a direct seat behind LeBron James, just kind of by luck. I sat down in the front row.
I would call it more strategic.
Right before tip off, LeBron comes out. And really, LeBron coming to Summer League, especially since he's joined the Lakers, and we know the Lakers, Laker fans dominate Summer League, where, you know, the Lakers are the home team at Summer League. And ever since LeBron has been in L.A., it has been a spectacle every single, you know, Summer League, where that first weekend, LeBron makes this grand entrance. You know, remember his first year joining the Lakers, he comes in those $500
Lakers
shorts.
The
bright gold ones. Then his second year, is they just got AD, and now he's sitting with AD and Kuzma, and it's like, okay, the Lakers are, you know, the Lakers are back. They reloaded. They got that second star. Third year, no summer league because of pandemic. Fourth year, which was last year, he comes with Russ, and he sits with Russ courtside, and they're buddy-buddy, and you know, they're watching the game together. So to go from that, which wasn't even 12 months ago because summer league was in August last year, to go 11 months later, and these guys are in the same building and sitting on opposite ends of the court, and they do not interact at all, I think there's something there. And it might not be much. It might be a small thing. But, you know, to me, again, sitting right behind LeBron, it was like this guy was the godfather. And everyone was coming up to him pregame. Everyone was coming up to him at halftime. You know, Rob Pelinka, Darvin Ham, his teammates, other NBA players. Like, everyone's coming up to LeBron. He's a magnet for attention and just, you know, respect and all that stuff. Russ is the one guy that doesn't come up to him. And I just it's hard to, you know, just inherently – if LeBron is driving the push to get Kyrie, that means he's also driving the push to get Russ out of there. And I think, you know, Russ is a prideful guy. We know this. We know what he thinks of himself. And I can't help but think that, you know, he would have some hard feelings about that. So, you know, I thought he was trying to be a good teammate, sitting next to the bench, you know, getting at the huddles a little bit and trying to coach those guys up, which was, I'm sure, good to see that he's at least kind of embracing a bit of that role. But at the same time, like, you know, LeBron is the most important Laker. And if those two don't get along, that's going to be a storyline, you know, at some point. So, to me, you know, I think sometimes that stuff can get overblown. But as you said, guys always come to summer league together. You know, teammates come together. They sit together. They chop it up. They hang out. And the fact that those two guys were there and did not interact. And those guys aren't stupid either. They know people are going to be talking about this.
Sure.
You know, they both know how this works. So especially LeBron, right? So, you know, the fact that they did not interact to me, there's something there. And again, it might not be much, but I think it's a little icy right now.
Yo, Vaughn, appreciate it, buddy. Always appreciate your time and your insight. Fantastic job just covering the summer league and obviously coming up with some great stories. So thank you very much for taking the time to join the show.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, buddy.
Soon.
That's Jovan Buha right there of The Athletic, making it happen in the summer league. When we come back, I got some final thoughts I want to give on a couple things here. Number one, Kevin Garnett had some thoughts about Anthony Davis on this year, 26, on this day 26 years ago. Kobe was introduced as a Laker, and it looks like Lakers will retire Pau Gasol this upcoming season. They'll retire his jersey. All that coming up next. Stay right here. Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN. A quick shout-out, thank you to Laura Romo back in the studio, Mario Ruiz, Michael Funches, everybody helping out with tonight's show. So I got a couple things I want to get into here real quick as we come to the end of the show. 26 years ago today, Kobe Bryant was introduced to the Los Angeles Lakers. ESPN and ESPN did a really cool piece they put on Instagram, and it just says that 26 years ago, Lakers acquired rookie Kobe Bryant from the Hornets. The rest is history. But they're actually doing his jersey, you know, where they're introducing him as a Los Angeles Laker. That happened 26 years ago today. It's crazy. I was talking about this with Travis Rogers this morning. And, look, we know Kobe was Kobe. The guy was relentless as far as wanting to win. No, I don't want to just play for a team. And by the way, there was this kind of this combination. Not only did he want to win, and at the beginning stages of his career, it took some time. Not just him. I mean, him, Shaq, and who was it? Dale Harris, that was the coach of the Lakers. Nothing happened the first couple of years. Then Phil Jackson comes, and everything changes from there. But it's crazy to kind of think. We were talking about it earlier today. Let's just say stayed in Charlotte. What would his career have been? And I don't think he'd have stayed very long because Kobe was one of those players that, all right, if it ain't happening here, I'm going to request, I'm going to try to do everything I can to get traded. I mean, hell, there was a time Kobe was requesting a trade from the Lakers, and that was after three NBA championships. So much, I think, of individual success. Not in every scenario. But I think the NBA is a good example. If you can get with the right franchise that has the ambition to win, the way the Lakers and Dr. Jerry Buss had an ambition to win, the way Kobe had his ambition to win, you marry those two things together, it's the best combination that you can have when it comes to sports. Because I know there are many franchises, I'm not telling you that they don't want to win, they don't know how to. they don't understand. Imagine if Cole was drafted by the Sacramento Kings or Charlotte or Washington, or I know Charlotte essentially was drafted by them, Washington or something along those lines, and he didn't get traded to the Lakers. So much of, I think, that combination of both really just not allowing anything other than success is 26 years ago today, Kobe introduced as a Laker. Pau Gasol, I always, you know, sometimes kind of link Kobe and Pau together. So Pau Gasol's number 16 jersey could be retired during the 2022-2023 NBA season. You know, this is kind of an interesting one. We'll kind of see what happens. There was a little bit of, you know, hey, could this happen? Could it not happen? We'll see what eventually happens. I don't want to make too many assumptions here. But sometimes I'm not a fan of, you know, kind of the way it usually works is you wait a certain amount of time before a team actually retires your jersey. I kind of hate that rule. I really do. I know this wasn't the case for Kobe. Kobe got his jersey retired right out the gate the next year. I get it, Kobe. That's a completely different standard, and it makes sense to do it. Sometimes I hate when you got to wait 4, 5, 6 years, something like that, when you eventually retire a player. If you know you're going to retire that player, make it happen. You don't have to disconnect that player from the game for so long or disconnect that player from the fan base for so long, because I do feel like over time, you know, out of sight, out of mind, it kind of loses a little bit of its power or its strength. So hopefully that ends up happening. We'll see what happens. I don't really have too much more details on it, but I did see that could be something that happens. And then the last thing I'm going to get into before we close out the show, KG calls out Anthony Davis, wants him to go for the MVP. I've said this before, I'll say it again, and I like it coming from Kevin Garnett. Every Laker fan, all they want to see is Anthony Davis be in the conversation as a top five player in the league again. We'll see if it happens. I got to believe it to see it. I got to see it first before I believe it. We'll see what happens. Laker fans, always appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Go on the pod and grab it if you didn't get a chance to get the show. Have a great rest of your night.